Welcome to The Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie, and today's podcast is all about stopping the cycle of self-sabotage. But first, just a little bit of housekeeping. I always like to mention the Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, Part 1, Behavior Management, is available on Amazon Kindle. Great resource. In addition to the Kindle text that you get, you also have access to a site that has lots of additional resources, lots of additional materials, many different things that you can get that will help you in your work to parent and raise a healthy child from birth through adolescence. We try to cover the entire developmental span, so check that out. Also, the Elimination Diet Manual is available on Amazon Kindle. It's a great way to see how your diet could be influencing your physical and emotional and mental health. 38 days is really all it takes to go through your diet and see if any of the seven usual suspects are affecting the way that you feel and function on a daily basis. Also, the Parenting Your ADHD Child course is now up and running. Seems to be progressing very well. Some parents have already signed up for it and are well on their way. I really encourage you to check that out. There are 21 lessons that are currently posted. We will be posting some more in the future, but we certainly look to you to give us any suggestions or any ideas, or you know, if you're experiencing any particular issues with parenting your ADHD child that you would like for us to cover, you know, send us a message on Facebook or through the course or through any of the means that we have available to you. You know, send us a message and we will work on a course lesson to cover that topic. If you're thinking about getting the Elimination Diet Manual and you're thinking about getting the Parenting Your ADHD Child course, don't worry about getting the Elimination Diet Manual. We give it to you for free as part of the Parenting Your ADHD Child course. There's an entire lesson on diet, and we give you the manual there so that you can work to implement that and work through that process to see how it may affect your child with ADHD. So lots of resources, lots of things. In addition to 21 lectures in the Parenting Your ADHD Child course, we also have lots of materials, how to build goals and charts and lots of different things, and additional resources that will help you with what you're trying to do in raising your ADHD child. So check that out. It's at paedialllc.com. Just click on courses and follow the prompts there. Of course, the links to all of this is available in the show notes. So check it out. All right, I think that's all the announcements. So hope you enjoy this podcast on stopping the cycle of self-sabotage. Breakdown. So how many times a day, and I'm going to say this on a day because we all do this, there are examples in all of our lives every day of things that we do that are not in our best interest. Things, whether it's, you know, eating something that you shouldn't have eaten, whether it's choosing to watch TV instead of exercise, or it's just the, you know, resistance or avoidance of taking some of the steps that you need to take to move in the direction you want to move to accomplish some of your goals and aspirations. Whatever the case may be, for some reason, there are things that we do every day that prevent us from getting to where we want to be, to prevent us from becoming the person that we hope to become and want to become. So let's talk about a little bit today some of the reasons why we do that, and then talk about some of the things that we can do, hopefully, to minimize that and to eliminate those tendencies. We're going to start out with some challenging ones, but the first one is sometimes we do things that are not in our best interest just to get a reaction. You know, whether it's a reaction intrinsically because, you know, we feel down, we don't feel well, so we, you know, eat something that we shouldn't eat just because we know, okay, well, if I eat that candy bar, it's going to satisfy me, it's going to make me feel better. So we want that kind of physiological chemical reactions, that chemical positive reaction, even though it's just temporary. We want that in our body to make us feel better. Sometimes it's a reaction that we want from somebody else. So we want to do something so that we get them to do something. And whichever the case is, we have to remember that usually any positive feelings that we glean from that, anything that we can possibly interpret as positive that comes from that type of rationale is so short-lived. You know, and we tend to feel very badly about it much longer than we felt good about it. So let's take, for example, a situation where you do something and you do it just to see if you can get a response from somebody else. Well, that person responds perhaps in exactly the same way that you would anticipate, and you think, there, okay, that was good. But as soon as it starts to sink in that, you know, I don't even know why I did that. You know, I got him or her to do what I wanted them to do. But now look at where I'm at. Now look at the situation I'm in. You know, I'm no better off now than I was before. So we need to, as best we can, and we'll kind of get to some of that in a few minutes, but we need to, as best we can, to think about that ahead of time. Why am I going to do that? Why do I want that reaction? You know, am I going to eat this candy bar because I want the sugar rush so that I feel better? Well, maybe instead of the candy, let's go with some fruit or something like that. You know, I really want that person to do something, to behave in this particular way. Well, is there another way that I can get them to do it? Or why is it that I want them to do that? You know, what benefit is it to me besides that immediate feeling good that is going to that serves the purpose of them doing that? And if we ask ourselves that question first, we will find that impulse of, you know, doing something just to get that reaction, many times that impulse will pass and we'll feel much better and without having to do what it is that we thought we were going to do. The second thing is sometimes, to be very honest, sometimes we do something just to upset somebody else. You know, we just want to get them angry. We just want them to get frustrated. Now, this comes a lot of times between parents and kids. You know, a lot of times parents will do things really with the goal of saying, you know, my kid did something that he wasn't supposed to do. I want him to be upset about that. I want him to know how upset I am, so I'm going to get him upset. And so, and that kind of gets into one of the next ones that we're going to talk about. But the reaction to that, oftentimes from the child, is the child will behave in a way just to upset the parent. Now, there is no gain to the child at all. And in fact, typically, it works against the child. I talk with kids all the time, especially, you know, tweens, those kids that are 10, 11, 12, and then teenagers. I talk with them all the time and they do things and I think, I will ask them, why would you do that? What happens when you you behave that way, when you make those decisions? And they will admit, you know, oh, well, I get my car taken away, or I get my phone taken away, or I'm not allowed to play video games. And I then ask them, of course, then why do you do it? And they say, well, you know, sometimes I just want to make them upset. Sometimes I just want to make them mad. Just to prove a point, they'll say. Now, they want to prove the point by upsetting their parent, even though they know it's going to hurt them. That shouldn't, and I think to most of you that hopefully are listening, because it doesn't to me, that doesn't make any intuitive sense at all. It's confusing at best. So in those kinds of situations, what I work with the teenager, and you know, certainly this happens to adults as well, what I work with them is to help them understand that by doing those things, you know, recognizing and sort of like we talked about with the first one, you know, recognizing that doing that works out against you, works out in your worst interest usually. And in fact, what we fail to see in those kinds of situations is that the reason that we wanted to get that person upset, when we make them upset, it tends to make them do the thing that made us want to get them upset in the first place. It makes them do those things more. So it's like this perpetual cycle. You know, teenagers oftentimes don't see that on their own, and they need to be shown that. And so, you know, we will walk through this process. So, you know, well, when I don't do my chores, my parents get upset and they'll yell at me and everything. And so I know it really upsets them. So I'll slam my door when I go in my room. Well, what happens when you slam the door? Well, then they come in and they yell at me. Well, you don't want them to yell at you, right? No, I don't want them to yell at me. And what do they yell at you about? Well, they yell at me for not doing my chores. Well, we're in this cycle that we just can't get out of, because you're just perpetuating it with this idea of, well, I'm going to make them upset. I'm just going to try to tick them off and make them angry. It almost always makes things worse for us. So resisting that urge, resisting that tendency, again, like we talked about with the first one, you know, many times if we just stopped and thought about it for a second first, we would find that impulse would die down and we will, you know, not do that. We will not engage in that behavior that is actually going to work out against us. Now, the third thing is sort of related to that, and I kind of mentioned it a little bit. Sometimes we do things that are not in our best interest just to make other people feel the way that we feel. You know, if we're really upset about something, sometimes we will do things just to make other people feel as upset as we do. You know, this parents are notorious for this. You know, they're upset about something that their child did or that somebody did, and they will want to do something. I mean, that's what, you know, for many parents, that's what punishment is all about. You know, I want them to be as upset about it as I am. And so I got to think of something really good that's going to make them upset and make them really understand how upset I am. Because if they're as upset as I am, then they will understand how, you know, this makes me feel when they break this rule. And so now they won't break the rule anymore. As I'm talking about it, hopefully that's just, you're thinking about that. And you're thinking, okay, that doesn't make sense at all. You know, we don't have to make the other person feel upset for them to understand that we're upset. You know, that's what metacognition is all about. I mean, that's what being a human is all about. That's a skill that we have that most other animals in the animal kingdom don't have. We can think about things in that way. So doing things that are not in our best interest just to make other people feel as upset or negative as we feel is counterproductive. Instead, what we want to do is use our good communication skills. Again, something else that's somewhat uniquely human. There's some other animals that communicate relatively well. But for us, we can communicate those thoughts and feelings and ideas and frustrations and worries and happiness. We can communicate all of those things with a variety of words and expressions. But yet, we resort to these more primitive behaviors of, you know, you made me mad, I'm going to make you mad. So we need to use those skills that we have to communicate in a way that works towards resolving problems. I hit the microphone there when I talk with my hands a whole lot. On a side note, I was reading this really interesting article the other day about how humans communicate with their hands, and I would be so interested to hearing from you guys if you communicate with your hands even when you're on the telephone. That's interesting, because here I am just talking to a camera and talking into the microphone, and I'm using my hands. It's interesting. Anyways, off topic. When we behave in a way that attempts to make other people feel the way that we feel, again, it just perpetuates a negative relationship, and it makes things much more difficult. And again, taking some time to pause and to consider what you're doing will certainly help. The next thing is, there are many times that we do things that are not in our best interest just because we don't see the opportunities at the time that they present themselves. Now, here, let me give you an example of this. Say that you are working in a job and you've been there for, you know, you've been there for a year now. You're wanting a raise, you're wanting to talk to them about your performance review, you're wanting to do something so that you can progress, that you can move forward in the company. Maybe there's a new position coming up and you would like to be considered for that position. There are things that you can do, probably things that you need to do, such as letting your boss know that you're interested in that new position. There are things that you need to do to move in that positive direction. And for some reason, you know, maybe you will be at work and you'll be sitting there talking with your boss and never say anything about it. And so when we don't see the opportunities when they present themselves, then we fail to move in the direction that we're trying to move. We fail to make that progress that we're hoping to make. So some strategies for that are to create those opportunities. And here's what I mean by that. You know, I sometimes use those definitives. Many people really are uncomfortable with the idea of approaching their boss and saying, hey, I would like to be considered for this advanced position. I would like to be considered for a raise. What do I need to do to do that? And so instead of going about it so overtly like that, many times we need to create opportunities where we can do it a little bit more subtly. For example, you may say, it was great talking with you the other day. You know, can you believe it? I was looking at the calendar and I can't believe that I've already been here a year. Do I need to get with Susan in HR and set up like a performance review or anything? Or am I supposed to do anything like that? Or does she take care of that? You know, by doing it that way, what you're doing, you're letting your boss know that you're interested in, you know, having a performance review so that you could potentially get your raise, but you're doing it in a way that's not, it's planned, it's organized, it's a way that you're in control of it. It's not, you know, oh, I gotta wait until he says this, because if he says this, then I can say that, and then that way I'll be able to ask him. Because what I'll do is I'll create a situation where he asks me. It just gets so complicated. And then again, we get into those situations and we completely miss the opportunity anyways, because we're so caught up in all of these what ifs and these different rabbit holes that we miss the opportunities when they present themselves. And so creating some of those opportunities can be a great way to overcome that problem of missing those kinds of opportunities. Now, the last one is, many times we fail to do things that are in our best interest because really we just don't know how to start. You know, this is especially true when it comes to, you know, improving your health through diet or through exercise and those kinds of things. We don't really know how to start appropriately. So for example, you may be one who says, okay, I'm going to start exercising. So I'm going to, you know, every day I'm going to go jog 2 miles. Well, that's great. But if you've never jogged before, or you haven't jogged in a long time, 2 miles is a long way. So maybe you're starting off a little bit too ambitious with this 2 mile idea. Even if you can do 2 miles, trying to do so every day is a little bit overambitious as well. And so what happens is we get ourselves into these ideas, we get these plans, and we say, okay, that's what we're going to do. That's how I'm going to define success. And we try to get started with it, and really it only takes a couple of days before you think, oh my God, there's just no way. I'm not going to go today. Well, you know, I did the last 2 days. I'm not going to go anymore. And then all of a sudden, it's gone. It's done. It's not going to happen. With our diet, you know, we get into this mode of, okay, that's it. You know, starting tomorrow, I'm not going to eat that anymore. You know, no more sugar, no more caffeine, no more this, no more that. And then, you know, 2 days in, sometimes just 1 day in, just a few days in, we don't have the drive and motivation because we tried to do so much at one time. Sometimes getting started is just that baby step. You know what? Instead of three sodas a day, I'm going to drink two. Instead of having, you know, three helpings of dinner, I'm only going to have one and a half or whatever, you know, slowly cutting back. When we try to go from 0 to 60, it rarely works. It rarely manages to get you where you want to be, and you end up falling right back where you were before. And so to figure out where to start, sometimes just doing a little bit of research, sometimes just saying, you know, this is where I want to be. This is where I am. All right. What's the first, perhaps smallest step that I can take from where I am to where I want to be? All right. So if I want to be exercising and I want to be fit, you know what? I'm going to start with a 15-minute walk every other day. And then once you're doing that routinely, then you say, okay, I'm going to change from 15 minutes every other day to 30 minutes every other day. And you work on it until it becomes the habit and it's just built into your schedule. Then you say, okay, now instead of 30 minutes every other day, I'm going to go 30 minutes every day. And you build it into your schedule and you just keep going from there. And then, you know, you may, maybe even before going every day, you say, okay, well, instead of 30 minutes of walking every day, I'm going to do a 5-minute walk, a 15-minute jog, and a 10-minute walk. You know, so you're still doing 30 minutes, but you're building some jogging in there. You're increasing the demands on your body. So there are these progressions, but we want to go from here to here so quickly that it ends up working against us, just like all of these other things that we've talked about. It works against us, and we fail to be able to take advantage of some of the things, some of the opportunities that we really have. So starting small, starting with baby steps, is the best way often to make a decision today and to do something every day that gets you where you want to be. Okay? So, you know, whether you are doing things that are not in your best interest, some of these self-sabotaging things, whether you're doing them because you just want to get a reaction from other people, you want to upset other people, you want others to feel how you feel, or you just don't, you're having a hard time seeing these opportunities when they present themselves, or even if you just, you know what you want to do, you see where you want to be, but you don't know how to get started, whatever the case may be, step back, analyze it just a little bit and say, what, you know, let me see what this is really doing for me. Maybe do a little bit of research. If you need to jump online and do a little bit of research, do that. But planning and setting a small expectations can really work wonders for you as you're trying to stop some of these self-sabotaging types of behaviors and start living every day in a way that's going to be positive for you, move in the direction that you want to move. So good luck with that. And I certainly encourage you to write to me wherever you like, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Write to me and let me know what you think. If you have any other strategies that you've found successful, send them to me. Let me share them with others, because, you know, what works for you may work for many other people. So write to me and let me know, and I will be sure to pass on the information. So, all right. Until next time, I'm Dr. Bernie. Have a great afternoon. And forget to be afraid.